Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our gospel for the Easter sunrise. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is God's word. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Mary Magdalene didn't know what to think. The tomb was empty. And so Peter and John ran to the tomb to see it for themselves. But all Mary could do was weep. Two angels appear to her and say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She says, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." And then turning around, she sees him. She sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him at first until he calls her by name, Mary. And then, oh, what joy, he lives. Her Lord is now not only her master, but the master over death as well. He lives. The grave could not close him away forever. Her Lord Jesus lives. You and I can only imagine the joy and unbelief that such a thing could be true. And perhaps if she hadn't seen it with her own eyes, she would never have believed it to be possible. But Jesus, here in the very first encounter he has with a living person since rising from the dead, he teaches Mary something. That as great as this Easter story is, there's more to come. Jesus says to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." It's kind of bizarre, isn't it? Jesus is risen today on Easter, and already Jesus is talking about ascending into heaven. Ascension Day is not for another 40 days yet. We haven't even eaten Easter breakfast yet. Wouldn't it be nice to stop and enjoy this Easter moment before thinking about what comes after it? But not so, says Jesus. The joy and the majesty of Easter is that, yes, he lives, but that he lives to do something for you and for me. Because Jesus didn't just rise from the dead and then buy a little house in Nazareth, settle down and start a family. He didn't just pick up where he left off and go back to wandering around Judea, doing miracles and preaching sermons. He didn't take a retirement to a sunny place out on the Mediterranean. The joy of Easter is that it is for you and me. Easter doesn't just stay on Easter morning. Easter affects us for the rest of eternity. Easter has implications for each and every one of us for the rest of time. Jesus goes to his Father in heaven so that he can rule over all things, so that he can strengthen us with his Holy Spirit, and so that he can secure for us a resurrection of our own on our own Easter morning. Mary Magdalene was caught in the moment of Easter, caught in the shock and the surprise of seeing the one that was dead now living before her. And so pure joy and adulation that her Lord, who had been dead, was once alive again, it overcame her. But Jesus points her past the moment that the story hasn't ended, that there is the promise of Easter resurrection for everyone. It is, after all, easy to get caught up in the moment of Easter. Perhaps, aside from Christmas hymns, Easter hymns are our very favorite ones. We're singing Alleluias again after not singing them during the 40 days of Lent. There is something special that all of you know about worshiping at 6:30 in the morning as the sun is rising and shining through the stained glass. And those of you here this morning are probably enjoying the smell of the lilies in the church, although I confess I'm having a little trouble smelling them this morning. That smell of lilies in the church's chancel are one of my favorite things in the world. And this year, I'm definitely kind of caught up in that Easter moment being here at Our Redeemer. I was thinking about it. I don't think I've had an Easter at Our Redeemer since 2001, when I would have been single and not yet a seminary student. Memories of my dad cooking biscuits and gravy back in the kitchen. Memories of being up early at the church to fry up the sausage and get the table set for the meal. Memories of hearing trumpets accompanying the organ on Jesus Christ is risen today. You probably have your own Easter moments as well. Families gathering together, families worshiping together, enjoying food, enjoying being together with one another. That life and promise of spring is in the air despite the snow that came this past couple days. Now I'm hearing more snow in a couple days. Easter Sunday is a special day. But I want this morning to urge you to look past the moment. To start your Easter day not by just celebrating Easter, but by contemplating the impact that Easter has on your life. How does Easter change things for you here and now, 2,000 years after the fact? How does Easter make a difference for you every single day of your life, and not just on this day? Our other two readings this morning, the Old Testament reading and the Epistle, help us to answer that question. In our Old Testament reading, we heard this beautiful song of Moses and the children of Israel after they had been delivered from their slavery in Egypt, and God had closed the waters of the Red Sea over Pharaoh and his army. They sang, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Do you see what happens when our Lord does his conquering, saving work? He destroys the enemy. Our enemy isn't Pharaoh and his army, or the horse and its rider. Our enemy is death. From the moment we're conceived, for every breath of our life, our enemy is death. And death has been defeated. Our enemy is drowned in the sea. Now, whether you're a Christian worshiping in a church this Easter morning, whether you're someone sleeping in this Sunday like every other Sunday, or whether you're someone in a foreign land who has yet to hear the name of Jesus, even if you're a person who hates Christ and everything it stands for, everyone, all of those people have to deal with death. We came face to face with death on Good Friday. Death impacts everyone. The horse and his rider that everyone must face is that we all die. Only in Jesus Christ is death met head on and dealt with. He lives not for himself, but for you. Recently, in one of the sermons, I mentioned the importance of those two words, for you. He lives for you. so that you also would live. Our epistle this morning is from 1 Corinthians 5. Just like we heard on Good Friday, Jesus is our Passover lamb, sacrificed for you and me. And as the people of Israel ate their Passover meal, they did so with a command from God to be ready to leave in haste, to leave behind their slavery in Egypt. Likewise, on this morning, the resurrection of Jesus means that you are free from the shackles of sin and death. The victory of our Lord over the tomb changes everything for you. Jesus rose from the dead so that you too would one day rise from the dead. Though your body will be laid in the earth when you die, your body will rise from the grave. The debt of your sin has been paid in Jesus' death, and the consequence of sin, your own death, has been overcome in the one who rises this morning. The world gives you no answer to death, but Jesus can, and Jesus has. Jesus told Mary Magdalene, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus does something very interesting here. Before his death and his resurrection, Jesus always refers to the 12 as his disciples. But now, after his death and his resurrection, they have a new name, brothers. They're no longer just followers of him, they're family. They have equal standing with him. Just as Jesus was without sin, now through his death, the disciples are also without sin. Just as Jesus rose from the grave, now too they will rise from the grave. Everything that Jesus did during Holy Week, from his arrest to his suffering and passion, to his death, to his resurrection from the tomb, it was all for his disciples who followed him. It was for those who had followed him and then failed in their following at the final hour. It was for them so that they could be called his brothers. So on this morning, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are indeed also brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus. Your sin has been washed away by the blood that he shed on the cross. That's done and finished with. You are holy, as Jesus is holy. And now, your death will not keep you in the grave. That's still to come. And that is why today is truly a day of joy. Not just because we get to be at church at 6:30, not because we have Easter breakfast, not even because we have some family traditions that we might keep this time of year that are special to us. There's joy and true celebration in what Christ has done for you and changed for you this morning, because the story hasn't ended. And that means even if Easter isn't really a joyous time of celebration and memory for you, maybe your Easters of the past have left you bitter, maybe you don't have warm, fuzzy feelings this morning. That's fine, because thanks be to God, the true joy of Easter is that the story hasn't ended. Our own Easter awaits us on the last day when Jesus calls you and me, his brothers and sisters, forth from the grave to live with him forever. The Lord bless your Easter, the one you celebrate today, and especially the one that awaits you and is yet to come. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.